Hi, this is Roger Marsh for Family Talk with some exciting news. We've selected 18 of the most popular broadcasts of the past year and present them to you together on 6 audio CDs in the 2016 Family Talk Best of Broadcast Collection. Join Dr. Dobson and many incredible guests like Anne Graham Lotz, Dr. Robert Jeffers, and Eric Metaxas in this compelling audio collection. You can get your CD set as our thank you for a suggested donation of $50 or more to support Family Talk. Your gift today will be doubled by a generous matching grant. Join Dr. Dobson and Serving Families by calling 877-732-6825 or visit drjamesdobson.org.
Hello, my name is Trent.
Hello, my name is Eric, and we're your social media team here at Family Talk.
I want to say Merry Christmas to my wife, Karen, my kids, Carter, Taylor, Grace, and Colton.
I want to say Merry Christmas to my wife, Brianna, and a Merry Christmas to everyone out there as well.
Remember to like us on Facebook.
And follow us on Twitter.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Today on Family Talk.
Why did the Son of God come in such a humiliating way to earth, give up all of his heavenly rights? Why did he experience torture and an excruciating death and spiritual separation from God? Why did he do all of that if all roads lead to heaven?
What a compelling question, and one that many people want to sidestep in today's politically correct climate. I say that in quotes. But this question goes right to the heart of Christianity, and we're going to answer it on today's Best of the Best broadcast edition of Family Talk with your host, Dr. James Dobson. Now, at the beginning of the broadcast, you heard our guest, Dr. Robert Jeffress, as he joined us last time to talk about his new book, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. And this was one of our most popular broadcasts of 2016. Here now is part two of their challenging conversation right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Well, Dr. Jeffers, last time we talked about the essence of your book, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. And I found it fascinating and extremely important because there's so much confusion over this issue of whether or not you have to deal with Christ, whether you can just be a good person, or whether you can be a Muslim or of some other faith and make it to heaven. That's the goal. That should be the premier objective of all our lives. And yet a lot of people, I'm afraid, are going to miss it because they don't understand this simple fact. You cannot make it to heaven without accepting and honoring the personhood of Jesus Christ and knowing that he died for our sins. Explain that again, and then we'll get on to new material.
Well, this book is the most important I've ever written because, Dr. Dobson, it deals with the most important issue of Christianity, and that is, how can a person have a right relationship with God? Are all religions simply different paths up the same mountain of truth that ultimately lead to the same God? That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And yet, in spite of the clear teaching of Jesus Christ, 58% of evangelical Christians say today, well, there is more than one way to God other than faith in Jesus Christ. And we talk in this book about why Jesus said what he did, and how this is the most foundational doctrine in Christianity. I mean, people say to me all the time on network interviews, well, why can't you be more inclusive? Why do you have to be so hateful and intolerant? Look, we're not the ones who make up the rules. As Christians, we have no right to formulate our own faith. We can only repeat the example and teaching of the founder of our faith, Jesus Christ. And so I wrote this book, Dr. Dobson, to help people reclaim this doctrine and to present this truth to other people who don't know Christ in a compassionate, yes, but also a compelling way. It's also designed to help equip parents to instruct their children and grandchildren who may be assaulted in the university or even in Christian schools with this idea of inclusivism, that everyone ought to be welcomed into heaven regardless of their faith belief system. And so that's what this book, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven, is about.
Quote the places, the verses where Jesus said, There is no other way.
Jesus was very, very clear about that there's only one way to heaven. He was clear, for example, in saying that he is the Son of God. When asked the question, "Are you the Son of God?" by Caiaphas, the high priest, he said, "I am." We hear it said all the time, well, Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God, over and over again. But he not only claimed to be the Son of God, he claimed to be the only way to God. Again, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus taught about eternity, that there's not one destination for everyone. There are two possible destinations. In Matthew 25:46, he said, "These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life." And Jesus certainly taught by his own example that he was the only way to heaven. I mean, think about this. Why would Jesus give up his rights in heaven, come to earth, suffer an excruciating death on the cross, experience spiritual separation from God, if there was another way to heaven? Remember what he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? He knelt down. He cried out to the Father, "Father, if it be possible, let this experience pass from me. And yet not my will, but your will be done."
There was no other answer.
There was no answer. Heaven was silent because there was no other way to experience reconciliation with God. Jesus was crystal clear on this topic.
You got a chapter called "The Old Way Was One Way." What did you mean by that?
And that is simply the fact that this idea of an exclusive way to God didn't start with Jesus. It's the story since the beginning of time. In the Old Testament, you find there were not many ways to God. There's one way to God. For example, there weren't many gods. There was one God. Jehovah, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God." But the great story is the story of Cain and Abel. Remember Cain and Abel, the offspring of Adam and Eve? Genesis 4 tells us the story about Cain coming to present his offering to God and Abel presenting his. Cain's offering was rejected. Why? Because it wasn't according to God's specification. God accepted Abel's sacrifice. He rejected Cain's offering. And since that time, there has been what has been called the way of Cain. You find that phrase all throughout Scripture. In the New Testament, Jude verse 11 talks about those who follow the way of Cain. The way of Cain is a man-made system of trying to approach God on our own term. And the Bible says, avoid the way of Cain. There is only one way to God, and that is through faith in Christ.
And that one way, correct me here, is without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin.
Absolutely.
That's what Cain and Abel were all about.
Yes.
One of them did have sacrifice of life and the shedding of blood, and the other one grew vegetables and fruit.
Yes. And I'm sure Cain thought that his offering was more beautiful, more pleasing. And you know, there are a lot of people today who think, well, I don't want to trust in some bloody sacrifice on the cross. I like my religion not to talk about death. I like to have my minister clothed in beautiful robes and worship in a beautiful cathedral. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong by that, but sometimes it's a man-made religion that we find more appealing than the religion of the cross that the Bible says is offensive to many people, because the way of the cross demands that I admit my sin and my need for a Savior. It demands that I humble myself before God and say, God, I am bankrupt spiritually, and my only hope of heaven is trusting in Jesus Christ. That's why, Dr. Dobson, people create their own religious systems instead of following the one way that God has prescribed.
Isn't it interesting that the entire Old Testament makes one statement, he's coming.
That's right.
Everybody sees these stories and they think that's just ancient and that's not relevant today. But the entire Old Testament points to the coming of the Christ. Haven't there been over 200 prophecies of Christ coming in the Old Testament?
At least. And, you know, the chances of one mathematician said, what are the chances that one man in history could just accidentally fulfill 8 of those prophecies? And the chances are 1 in 10 to the 17th power. of one person just fulfilling eight. And as you've said, there are hundreds of prophecies. I mean, the whole Old Testament told that this Jesus was coming not to just set a good example or teach nice things, but to be the sacrifice for our sin.
So the sacrifices of animals and the other forms of sacrifice in the Old Testament for the Jewish people was a foretelling of the coming of Christ.
You know, that is an interesting point that you make, because in my book, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven, one of the chapters I talk about is, well, if that's true, how were the people in the Old Testament saved before the time of Christ? And I use this illustration. You know, it's an amazing thing that I can go to a superstore and I can find a big screen TV that costs $1,000, and all I have to do is put down a piece of plastic. Give them a piece of plastic, yeah. And they let me take that $1,000 TV out for a worthless piece of plastic. But that plastic, my credit card, represents a promise to pay. And 30 days later, the bill comes due and it has to be paid. Mm-hmm. It's the same way with the Old Testament saints. When they made those bloody sacrifices, those were worthless in and of themselves, but they were simply a way of putting down the credit card of a promise to pay in the future. When Jesus came, he paid that bill in full. And so the Old Testament saints were in effect saved by on credit, if you will, looking forward to the coming of Christ. We're saved looking back to the death of Christ. But in either case, it's always the blood of Jesus Christ by which anyone in any generation has been saved.
Hey, what does moving the fence mean?
Well, that's an opening chapter I talk about the attempt some people have to try to make the way of salvation broader than it really is. You know, I think you'll identify with this example. We've lost the debate on gay marriage, at least in the public arena. And the reason we lost it is not because of secularists. It's because of Christians who failed to stand up and be the salt and light we were commanded to be. And Cardinal Timothy Dolan said, the reason we lost the debate on gay marriage is we were outfought, and out-argued on the issue. Mm-hmm. And I think that is true. But I think now we're losing an even more important issue, which is how can a person be saved? We're losing this debate on exclusivity for the very same reasons. We're being outfought and outmarketed on the issue, which is why I wrote this book, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. And when I talk about moving the fence, what I'm talking about is people want to be more and more inclusive. As they look around and see this world becoming more secular, as they see all of these followers of different religions, not just over there somewhere, but down the street on the block where we live, we say, I just can't accept that those people are destined to hell when they die simply because they haven't believed the right things about Jesus. I just can't accept that. And that's why the subtitle of this book is Sharing an Exclusive Jesus in an Inclusive World. And, you know, one of the questions we may want to talk about is that question, well, what about those who worship God by a different name? I mean, they call him Allah, we call him God, but isn't it all the same God?
Take a run at it.
You think so? Well, look, names mean something. The Allah of the Quran is not Jehovah God of the Bible. The imaginary Allah of the Quran has no son. The God of the Bible has one son. His name is Jesus Christ. When you talk about Allah, he's always tied to the Quran. Names mean something. And I illustrated that to my congregation this way, Dr. Dobson. I said to my congregation, imagine one Sunday I've announced for weeks that Dr. David Jeremiah, my friend, is going to be preaching. And you all come in here and you pack the place out to see and hear Dr. Jeremiah. And then in the sermon time, I stand up and preach. And after the sermon, people try to mask their disappointment not hearing Dr. Jeremiah. And they say to me, well, Pastor, what happened to Dr. Jeremiah? Is he sick? Is he ill? Something wrong? I said, well, no. And they said, well, it says here in the bulletin, Dr. David Jeremiah is preaching. And I say, oh, David Jeremiah, that's just another name I go by sometimes. Sometimes it's David Jeremiah. Sometimes it's Joel Osteen. Sometimes it's Al Sharpton. It really doesn't matter. We're all preachers. It's just different names for the same person. That was ridiculous. Names mean something. And listen to this. Acts 4:12, Peter said, "There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved other than the name of Jesus." 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might have eternal life."
You know, it couldn't be more clear than that. And you discuss all of those concepts in this book.
That's right.
You have a chapter having to do with simple answers to complex questions. And one of them is, what do you say to someone who says, "You're just being intolerant, you're being hateful"? As a minister who stands up and preach the gospel as we read it in the scripture, do you get that? Do people come into your church and accuse you of being hateful?
Because they believe we're making this up, that we're fabricating our own religion rather than following the teaching of the book, the only book that's authoritative, the Bible. They really think we get to make up spiritual truth. You know, and I would use this example. People don't like the idea of absolute truth. They want to think that how a person goes to heaven when they die is relative truth. For example, what temperature does water freeze at? Well, it's 32 degrees, right? Fahrenheit. But if I were to ask you, what's a comfortable temperature? Well, that's a matter of opinion. There's no absolute truth. Some people like 70, some like 80. There's absolute truth, the freezing temperature of water. There's relative truth, what's a comfortable temperature? Now, when it comes to how does a person go to heaven when they die, they think that's a relative truth. It's a matter of opinion, when in fact, it's an absolute truth, like the freezing temperature of water. There's only one answer to that. Dr. Dobson, when you say, well, isn't that intolerant? How should we answer that? I have a great friend at Fox News, and I say he really is a great friend, Alan Combs. He and I have become friends over the years.
You know, we have too.
He likes you, and every time we're together, he says, "I really like Dr. Dobson."
And I call him my favorite liberal.
Well, and he's of the Jewish faith, and so, but every time when I'm on his program, he lets me share the gospel. And he said, "Well, doesn't that make it hateful to insist there's only one way?" The last time I was with him, I said, "Alan, imagine I walk by your house, I see it's on fire, I run up the stairs, I see you caught, and I said, 'Alan, follow me, there's only one way out of this burning house.' Would you accuse me of being hateful because I insisted there's only one way out of the burning house?" He didn't have an answer to it, because there is no answer to that. If somebody is drowning and you throw them a life preserver and you say, "Grab hold of this so I can save you," is that person going to say, "You're being intolerant by only throwing me one life preserver"? No, they're going to thank you for doing that. It's the same way with sharing Jesus. Jesus is the only way, he said, to be rescued from sin and hell. We do that not because we hate people, but because we love people.
You know, I'm glad we came around to another misunderstanding, and one that concerns me a great deal. And that is that there are fewer and fewer people who believe that there is absolute truth. They think that it's fine for you. What you believe is your business. What I believe is my business. And who can say I'm wrong and you're right, or you're wrong and I'm right? Because there is nothing absolute. It's all relative. That is an unfortunate conclusion that many people today are drawing. I don't think was true 150, 200 years ago. They accepted the fact that God is the creator of truth, and that some things are absolute.
That's right.
You can't argue with them. But now people say it's really kind of a version of what you're dealing with in this book.
They would say that. And I would like to say to our listeners right now, you may say, "Well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I'm not sure I believe that. And all you and Dr. Dobson are talking about is theological speculation." No, I would say to every listener, your own eternal destiny hinges on whether what we're talking about is true or not. Because if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved, your whole faith unravels. Let me show you why. Not only do you have to discard the nature of truth, that there's such a thing as absolute truth, but if in fact there are multiple ways to heaven, then the deity of Christ doesn't stand. Because when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me, if he was wrong about that, either it was because he was mistaken, didn't know what he was talking about, or he was lying. Either one disqualifies him as a son of God. And if he's not the son of God, then it means when he died on the cross, he didn't die for your sins, he died for his own sins. And therefore, if Jesus was wrong, then right now you're on the wrong way to heaven. That means all of Christianity is wrong, and you need to find some other path to God because you can't defend on Christianity. And there are thousands of different ways, supposedly, to God. How do you know which is the right one if Christianity is wrong? And by the way, most every other major world religion except Hinduism claims that their way is the exclusive way to God. So you're in a real mess if this whole idea is wrong, that there's one way to God. And that's why I say, Dr. Dobson, what a person believes about this issue determines his eternal destiny.
You know, my son Ryan is a good speaker.
Yes.
He loves the Lord. And frequently, and I've heard him do this on several occasions, talked about his book, Be Intolerant, Because Some Things Are Just Stupid. That's the name of his book. And he will have an audience close their eyes. And then he will say, I want you to point north. And each person will point in the direction they think is north with their eyes closed.
Yes.
Then he says, open your eyes. And they're all pointing in different directions. And he makes the point that some things are north, whether you believe it or accept it or not. And some things are south and east and west.
Yes.
And you can't just say, I see it differently. North is north for me and south is south for you. You understand? I stumble on it.
The great truth about that, Dr. Dobson, is in this confused world when everyone is searching for their own way, the only one in history who's ever been on the other side of the grave, Jesus Christ, has come back and he has said, let me show you the way to heaven. Yeah. I can get you there, but I'm the only one who can get you there. Follow me.
The title of the book is Not All Roads Lead to Heaven by Dr. Robert Jeffress. And the subtitle here, well, actually, it's an endorsement by David Jeremiah. You mentioned him, a great speaker and preacher. Dr. Jeffress has given the body of Christ a great tool, and that's well said.
Well, you're kind to have me. I would mention to those listening, we also have a new video curriculum for churches that would like to use this as an 8-week study. It will come out starting April 1st, and all the information about it's in the back of the book.
And they can get it by
calling
the 800
Pathway
to Victory.
Right, exactly. And a lot of small groups would enjoy, I think, studying this topic to help ground Christians in this most basic truth.
We have a few seconds left. Tell people how they can hear you on Sunday morning and on radio.
Right. Our ministry, Pathway to Victory, our website is ptv.org. ptv.org. There's a station locator. You can plug in where you're living to find the right radio station or the television station to watch us or listen. And you can download the messages free of charge.
I do hope our listeners will find you because every week you have something great to say. And I appreciate you. I love you as a brother. Thank you for coming and being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. You've been a faithful mentor for many years. It's always good to be with one of the heroes of my faith. Thank you.
Let's do it again.
I will. Thank you.
Okay.
You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and we're airing part two of Dr. Dobson's conversation with Dr. Robert Jeffress on one of our most popular broadcasts of 2016. I'm Roger Marsh, and if you or someone you know is struggling with the exclusive claims of Christianity that we've been talking about these past couple of days, I urge you to get a copy of Dr. Jeffress's book, Examine the Scriptures, he shares, and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you. We have a link to the book, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven, by Dr. Robert Jeffress, as well as a link to his ministry website on our website at drjamesdobson.org. At Family Talk, we are committed to bringing you resources and tools like this one to help strengthen your walk with Christ, and we can't do it without your support. Please know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time right here for another program from our 2016 Best of the Best broadcast series. That's right here on Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton from the American Association of Christian Counselors, and you're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Every day, Family Talk brings you world-class guests, relevant trends, and a growing global community, all with the click of a mouse or a tap of a screen. As a listener-supported ministry, we're only able to offer these great resources because of your generous donations. Stand with us, will you? Now through the end of the year, great news. Every dollar you give is going to be matched to have twice the impact on families around the country and right there in your neighborhood. Call us, would you, at 877-732-6825, or you can go online and donate at drjamesdobson.org and become a part of the Family Talk family.